in-depth and God-filled conversations with some of the brightest names in contemporary Christian music and worship. This is The Artist Interview with Gordon T.
Hey, what's up, friends? This is Mac Brock, and I hope you enjoy The Artist Interview.
And that was O Come to the Altar by Elevation Worship. And if you listen to worship songs, especially if on a Sunday morning you're there worshipping and that track comes up, you'll always see down the bottom the wonderful name of Mac Brock. And we're so glad to have Mac Brock with us right now for The Artist Interview. Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Gordon? How are you doing?
Really, really well. Thanks very much. So where in the world are you?
I am in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, so USA. So we've got listeners all around the world, but okay, a nice place to be. I'm just going to quickly check, weather-wise, how's that compared to the UK? We've got tons of rain, it's freezing cold.
Yeah, right now it's bright and sunny, but it is very chilly.
Okay.
So, but Charlotte's kind of in a weird space in the US, it's in the south. And so some days you'll wake up and it's like 25 degrees Fahrenheit, and then you'll wake up the next day and it's 65 degrees Fahrenheit. So, you know, you never know how to dress, you don't know how to plan. It's just kind of all over the place.
Okay, so that sounds like the UK, except for we know how to do it because it's going to rain and be cold. So let's find out. That track, of course, is a track, a very famous track from Elevation Worship. Over 200 million streams on Spotify alone, I think. It's like absolutely
that's so crazy,
insane, and a beautiful, beautiful track. But I guess it'd be really helpful because you're now on your solo career, so putting out music with Centricity. Could you tell us a little bit, actually rewind time as far back as you want to go? Because I would love to understand how you became a Christian, how that's impacted your life, and also where music fits into that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, the quick story of it is I'm a pastor's kid, so I was just kind of born into the church and grew up, you know, we're at church all the time, Wednesday nights, Saturday nights, Sunday morning, Sunday nights. There's just like a constant flow of church. So I grew up in the church, grew up in like doing youth ministry and all that stuff. And where music kind of came into it is my mom is a drummer. She's a musician my whole life. Yeah, she was always playing drums at church, but then she was also playing for the symphony and for the Charlotte Symphony. And
wow, cool.
Yeah. And so I wanted to get into music and wanted to, she was kind of my guide into like, well, you should try playing bass guitar first. That's like an easy like gateway into playing, playing music. And from there I started leading worship in youth group and just never stopped.
So what instruments do you play?
Well, I started playing bass for forever. And that was the only instrument that I knew. And then when I started leading worship more often, like by myself, I figured I need to at least learn how to play a couple of chords on the acoustic guitar. So I had a friend of mine show me a few things that I could do. And then I could pretty much capo everything else, depending on what key the song was in. So pretty much all I play is the guitar now. And then I can kind of get by on piano if I'm like in a songwriting session or something like that. If I just transpose everything to the white keys, I'm good to go on piano.
Okay. So you can model by. So,
right.
Now, so you mentioned your dad being a pastor. In fact, you mentioned, I want to find out about a drummer mum, because it's not very often that there are female drummers. How many female drummers can you name?
I always, you know, my mom is the first one that comes to mind. I don't know her name. But I remember growing up, there was the drummer for Lenny Kravitz. And he always had this girl drummer that was so awesome. And so I grew up loving her.
I can't think who that is. So
I can't either. I can't remember her name.
We shows you can't.
Had you not asked me what it was, I would have been able to tell you. But now I'm drawing a blank.
And the only other female drummer I can think of would be Jen Ledger, the drummer for Skillet.
Oh yeah.
So, but yep. There aren't many around. So your mum was a bit of a trailblazer then to be a female drummer. I think so. That's pretty cool.
She was then, and she still is now. She's the best.
And she's still drumming.
She's still drumming. She's awesome.
Rocking it. That is cool. And so your dad was the pastor. What sort of church was it? What was it like on a Sunday morning then?
It was a Southern Baptist church. So very, it's the best word to describe it, low key. It was like very, very chill and very down. And so me growing up, we would do like special songs. Did y'all have that in church growing up? Like, so we'd have like, we'd sing our hymns and we'd sing kind of like the worship set. Then you'd have the offertory special where they take up the offering, but during the offering they'd have like a soloist. So as like a teenager, I would always try to get that spot. Like, I want to have a solo, except I would always try to do like third day songs that were too hard or too rock and roll for my dad's sweet church. But eventually they let me do it. And that's kind of how I grew into that.
Well, what's your favorite third day song?
Man, so I grew up, do you remember the song Consuming Fire? It was on the very first album. It wasn't like one, I don't even think it was one of their singles, but it was like such a good, like kind of like hard rock song. And there weren't many of those back then for like Christian artists. And so I grew up playing that song all the time.
Okay, so your parents' church, though, you were there faithfully all the time. There must be a moment, though, where you went, I've definitely got this faith for myself. It's not just my parents' faith. I'm walking it. So what happened there, and when was that?
Yeah, it was when I was in high school, I think. Had a great youth pastor who just really made Jesus real, you know, and it became more than like just stories that I grew up hearing and stories that, you know, my parents are so great. My dad is such a great pastor and such, like, they really like raised me and my sister well in our house. But it was in high school that I felt like I made that connection of like Jesus, like I can actually have like a relationship with this person that I hear all these stories about. And I've, you know, I pray to all the time, but it wasn't a super deep relationship outside of that. And so that was around the time in my life that really started to form my relationship with Christ.
Wow. Okay. So significant moment, realizing you can trust him, yeah. Speak to him. He's there for you. It's not just everybody else. That's pretty cool. And was that something that lots of your friends at high school, what age is high school? For those who don't know what the high school system is, what age is that?
Yeah, that's like, I don't know, like 15 to 18, 14 to 18, something around that age. Yeah.
And so it's a time when lots of teenagers are beginning to experiment, pull away from their parents, become a bit rebellious, but you didn't have that journey at all. God just literally just kept you.
Yeah, he really did. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful, one, that I had like a safe place, a safe environment growing up, that I could steward that, you know, cultivate that relationship with Jesus. And I had great people around me and great leaders around me that challenged me and pushed me and encouraged me. And yeah, those are really great years looking back at it.
Well, and also hats off to youth pastors, anyone who's working with youth. Just want to say you guys make such a phenomenal difference. And I know for myself, if it wasn't for some of the people who've been around when I was a teenager, no idea where I'd be, but God's hand was on them and it blessed me enormously. So, okay, your mum's there encouraging you to learn great musical skills. You obviously worked at it as well, but somewhere along the line in your story, there's got to be, rather than you just playing in a small, I don't know how small it was, Southern Baptist Church. How many people were at your church?
It was like maybe like 1,000, 1,500, something okay. Like that. So not super small, but not like massive.
Yeah, but by UK terms, that's humongous, okay? That is a big church. Okay. So okay.
By Southern Bible Belt terms, that that could be any church.
That's encouraging. So, okay. So, but at some stage, you weren't just playing just to your local church, hoping to get that spot for the special song on a Sunday. What was it that changed? Like, so you're going through your education. Did you study music as part of your education?
No, I never studied music. I actually took several years from high school before I went to like university, and I like played in bands and stuff, and I played around, and it wasn't like worship bands, but it was more, you know, it was still spiritual and, you know, inspirational, or I guess you would call it. And so I did that for like many years and thought like, oh, I want to be like in a band. I don't want to be like a worship leader. I want to be like the lead singer of a band. And it was such a funny thing, but along through all those years and through doing that for so long, I always kept coming back to worship, and I would still find myself getting asked to lead worship at an event or getting asked to lead worship for the youth group. I served at the youth group at my dad's church for a long time. And so worship was always there. It was still like a, you know, a through line throughout my whole life, even when I wasn't pursuing that as like, this is what I want to dedicate my life to.
Okay. So it was something that was still very significant to you.
Yeah.
So you took a break, you did band stuff, but, and then you did go to university. So what did you study at uni?
Well, I met what was going to be my wife, and I realized, all right, I need to stop doing music. I need to get like a real job. I need to get a real education. I was very much like, I need to get my act together if I want this girl to marry me. And so I went to school for, I wanted to do like the business side of music for like TVs and TV shows and movies and stuff like that. And so that was kind of that's what I studied in school. When I first got married, I moved out to California, did an internship out there. That's what my goal was. I wanted to pursue that. And again, kept having opportunities to lead worship, kept having opportunities to still like be plugged into churches and doing that. Even when it wasn't like, this is not really my thing anymore, but it's in front of me, so I'll do it. And I say a lot, you know, that I'm so grateful for the Lord's grace in my life to allow me to continue to pursue worship, even though that wasn't like even the desire of my heart in a season of my life. And so, that's kind of where I was at.
Okay. So did you get married during university, straight after?
Or? Yeah, I got married almost like right after I started college. I got married about, I don't know, I was 22 at the time and had been in school for maybe a year and a half.
Okay. Is your wife the same age as you? How old are you? I don't know. How old are you?
Yeah, so I'm 40 now. I turned 40 this year. So,
congratulations. You know,
I'm getting up there. My wife is a couple years older than me. So when we first met, she was graduating college. And she went on to get her master's degree. So she's very high educated. I'm very not that way. And so we got married, and we're kind of like on this trajectory, like I said, to like pursue this career in media and doing that. And the Lord, shortly after we got married, the Lord kind of called us to Charlotte to be a part of Elevation. That was like a new church that was starting out. And so we moved up here, and we've been in Charlotte ever since.
Okay. So lots of people will know a little bit about Elevation Church, but for those who don't, tell us what Elevation Church is.
Yes. I had met Stephen Furtick at an event that I was leading worship at, and he was telling me, he was like, I just planted this church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We should have you come up and lead worship sometime because we don't have a worship leader on staff. And so I started doing that, and Elevation, it's a really influential church. It's a great church. And from the beginning, music and worship and original music was always like kind of at the core of what the church was going to be built on. And so that's one of the reasons why me and my wife moved up to Charlotte to be a part, because we knew like we wanted to be a part of building that. And so I don't know. I don't know even how to describe Elevation. There's so many things that goes on there.
Well, let's start with when you joined it, what size was Elevation?
Maybe like right at 1,000 or right under, that I started coming up. So I was living in South Carolina. It was like a couple hours away from where I was living. So I would just drive up on Saturday nights and lead worship and then drive home and go to school after that. And so I did that for about 6 to 9 months before me and my wife moved up to Charlotte permanently.
Okay. And what size is Elevation now?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
give a ballpark. I know not exact, but is it?
I really
2,000, 3,000? You don't know.
No. It's probably like in the tens.
Tens of thousands. Okay. So that's pretty big. That is pretty big. Okay.
It's a large church.
So you became part of Elevation, and Elevation Worship is their worship band that it has seen huge worldwide success. So what was that journey like, becoming part of that then?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The whole time I was there, a lot of it was we were just trying to build the church, you know, and we were just local worship leaders leading at church every week. And we were writing songs, though, and we were recording songs. Like, we were putting out an album every year, even when we were 2 years old. And so that was really cool to see, like, to see those songs like minister to our church, and that was the goal. And then to see them start to kind of catch hold at churches outside of Charlotte was really fascinating to us and exciting. And so, yeah, I mean, it was interesting because it was like a big thing, and we were seeing it grow and grow and grow. But then at the end of the day, we also felt like we're just a local church trying to be obedient to what's in front of us. I'm a local worship leader trying to be obedient to the church that's in front of me that I'm serving at.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing, actually, to try and balance those two things of serving the local church, but having what is definitely a worldwide influence. And for our church over here in the UK, love singing the songs that you've written. They're a huge blessing to us. So the blessing goes much further than just your local church. That's for sure. So, okay. But you're not doing stuff with Elevation Worship now. So you've stepped away. Tell me why. That's what I'd like to know. What's happened?
Yeah. I mean, it came down to, I guess, I don't know. It's been maybe like 7 years now that, my wife and I just felt a calling from the Lord, a prompting from the Lord, where we felt like he was telling us that our assignment there was done and we needed to step out into something new. We didn't know what it was going to look like or what it would be. We didn't know if we would stay in Charlotte or if we'd move away. There was a lot of unknown, but we felt like he was closing that door. And so we tried to just be obedient to that and step into faith of, you know, choosing like, okay, we're going to choose to obey and to follow you, even if it's scary, even if it's chaotic. And that's kind of the journey that we've been on since.
Just to say, that is just bizarre. So sometimes when I'm doing these interviews, there is clearly a theme that keeps on coming up, people suffering with panic attacks, things like that. And so we'll often at those points just we'll pause, we might pray, we'll cogitate on it. But so I've just aired just today an interview with Franny Ray Cash, who was the lead singer of We the Kingdom, talking about
she's in a similar
absolutely
situation.
It's just that she wants to be faithful to God in stepping out, even though you might say logically it doesn't make an awful lot of sense because We the Kingdom's going great guns, but she feels it's right before God to do that. So I'm going to guess that there's people listening right now who are going to be going, man, I feel like maybe this is something I need to pick up on and listen to. Mac, would you be willing just now just to pray for people, just to be people to be sensitive to God's prompting and voice on these things?
Oh, of course. It would be an honor. Dear Jesus, Lord, we just lift up anybody that is like wrestling with you right now about a big decision or a big conflict where they might be feeling led to do something that logically makes no sense, but they know that it would be a step of faith and they know that it would be in alignment with your heart. I just pray for courage and bravery for them. Fill their spirit with your strength, with your certainty. We know that even in obedience and even in walking in faith, that still comes with its fair share of anxiety and stress and nervousness, Lord. And so I just pray for a calmness over all of those nerves, calmness over that anxiety, Lord. And just remind them that you are with them. It's something that we say a lot. It's something that we sing a lot. But I just pray that the tangible presence of Jesus would be very, very clear and present with them, and they would feel you by their side. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. So, in fact, if you're in that situation and this is resonating with you right now, just want to encourage you maybe to go and find someone wise who can give you some help on just walking through this really well. And also, you might be in a situation that you're not enjoying being in, but sometimes, well, God does call us to stay in the things that aren't and to be patient and to persist and to grow in the situation as well. So don't think that this is Gordon saying, you know, you should just stop whatever you're doing and do something else. That's not, we're talking about people right now who might be feeling that nudge of God to move on from where they are onto the next thing. Thanks so much, Mac. That's a great prompt for people.
Thanks for letting me do that.
Just feels like just that special timing. Okay. So your wife and you were feeling it was time to step out. And that's when was that you stepped out?
That was in 2017. So it's like going on seven, 8 years now.
And what's the thing you most miss about those days?
You know, I always love like I said, I grew up playing in bands and I love worship teams. It's one of my favorite things in the world is like being a part of like a worship team or doing ministry alongside of people. And so that I do miss that aspect. I feel like the Lord has been really kind that I'm surrounded, even though I'm a solo quote unquote Mac Brock artist, which is still like funny to me. I'm surrounded by so many people that I still get to collaborate with. I still get to make, you know, creative music with. And so I don't feel like I'm necessarily missing that, but yeah, I love the collaborative process and I love working with a group of people for a common goal.
Okay. So you haven't lost it. You still got that.
Still have it, but it's different. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I imagine there's positives and negatives in any sort of situation, but I guess I don't know, but I guess there's also less pressure because Elevation, I guess, had quite a lot of schedule to be here and there and all over the place, which I would have thought would be also quite tiring. Have you, being realistic, I would think it's going to be quite full on. That's a fair assessment. But for you now, what are the things that God's called you to prioritize then with your time? How's things different?
Yeah, I mean, I think... solo artist, or if I was at a part of Elevation, like, you know, I'm older now, my kids are older now. So naturally, like, life is just different in general, no matter what I'm doing with my, you know, career, I guess. And so, I mean, a big priority for me over the last like several years has just been like my presence at home. You know, there have been lots of seasons throughout my entire life where I've traveled a ton and I've been gone for, you know, weeks, months at a time. And I'm home a lot more and I'm able to like change how I travel and change what my schedule might look like. And, you know, my son's into wrestling now, my daughter's in theater and we have a 4-year-old. And so like, even the aspect of like my kids are learning the things that they're into and they have a lot going on that I want to be present for that. And so I've changed a lot of the routine of my life and the flow of my life just to prioritize some of the things that are like really, really important to me.
Well, which sounds like family. So which has got to be a great thing.
That's the biggest thing right now. Yeah.
And sorry, you said you got a 4-year-old. How old are the other two?
My son is 12 and my daughter is 9.
Okay. So 12-year-old into wrestling, 9-year-old. Was 9-year-old say dance yes. for the 9-year-old?
She's in like theater. She does
theater. Yeah.
Dance, but she's learned like she just got the part of Nemo in her local like theater.
Nemo.
Yeah. She's learning all about acting and singing and all that stuff.
Nemo the fish.
Yeah. Nemo the fish.
Cool. I would, if I had to do it, I'd be much rather be Dory because it doesn't matter if you forget your lines.
Yeah. If you don't even remember your lines, it's a part of the character.
That's right. So that'd be okay. We've got another track to play from you. It's called Just Like You've Always Done.
Yes.
Tell us about that track. Why did you write it? I mean, this is a I would say solo, but obviously you're talking about having the people, the musicians around you, but it's a solo Mac Brock track that's released under Centricity label. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a song. It's the first song off the record that I'll release later this year that I've released, but it's just a song about faith. And I write a lot of songs about faith. And I think it's because I'm constantly in a state of dependence on the Lord calling out to him and being like, hey, I need you, just so you know, like, I just so you know, God, like, I really need you, and I'm believing your promises over me, over my family, and I need a reminder of that a lot. Because we get stuck in the day to day and what's ever like right in front of us. It's so easy to lose sight of just truth, you know? And so that's kind of what this song is about. It's just a reminder of like all the things that God has done. Those aren't just stories of the past. Those aren't just things that we can remember, but it's just a reminder of like those things that he did, he's still doing now. He's still doing it today. He's still working on your behalf. And he will tomorrow too. And so it's just a song that kind of clings to that promise. You're still miracle working. You're still building our faith. You're still giving us reasons to give you all our praise. You're still moving in power. You're still pouring out love. You're still fighting our battles just like you've always done.
And that was Just Like You've Always Done by Mac Brock. And we're so pleased that Mac is still always here for the artist interview. Mac, thanks for all you shared from your journey, and thanks for your amazing gift of worship. And it's a fantastic track. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you.
It would be wonderful if right now, if you're happy to pray for listeners.
Yes, I would be happy to. Dear Jesus, man, so grateful that we can just worship you in the middle of the day, wherever we're at. We can just take a break and listen to songs about your truth, about who you are, about what you're doing, Lord. I pray that as we go out, leave from like listening to this interview or listening to these songs, Lord, that those truths would just remain in our spirit, remain in our heart. I just want to pray for anybody that's listening right now, Lord, that, I don't know, maybe feels just a little bit lost. Not even lost in the terms of they don't know you, but just lost in their direction, lost in they don't know what's next or what's coming. I just pray, one, for clarity and vision from you, that you would speak to them. But I pray even more than that, I pray that you would become real to them in a way that they don't have to know what's next to trust you. If that makes sense, Lord. You are the same today as you were yesterday, as you will be tomorrow. And I pray that that truth just is rooted deep in all of our hearts, Lord, that we would just cling to that promise, that we could take every step, every single day, Lord, just walking with you, trusting you, have a peace in our spirit, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much, Mac. So we've talked a little bit about the music side of things, and you've mentioned being a dad. Can you just tell me two things about being a dad that you absolutely love?
Ooh, I think, probably the two things that I love most about being a dad is, one, sharing like the things that I love with them and getting like, you know, not only like church stuff and worship and music and all that stuff, but just even like TV shows and movies. Like I love getting to like watch old movies that I grew up watching with my kids, and like, I remember sitting and watching E.T. with my daughter recently, and just even like stuff like that's like really special to me. And then on the flip side of that, getting to experience all the things that they love and getting to hear them talk about it and hear them explain. I know nothing about wrestling. I'm not an athlete at all in general, but of all the sports that I like, wrestling was never on my radar. And so even to be able to learn about wrestling through my son has been just a fun, interesting part of my life. And the same goes for my daughter, my other son, and just getting to experience their joys and their passions. And I don't know, it's always fun.
Well, I've got to pick you up on that though. It's always fun. So I'm a dad, and I've got to say, being a dad is an absolute privilege. But I'm sure that there's going to be some listeners who will go, "Ooh, I don't always find it fun. Sometimes it's hard." So what part of being a dad have you found the most challenging, and what stretched you the most?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because sometimes you get in these interviews and you just share all the positive things and all the happy things. But man, it is also really, really difficult. Being a dad can be really, really hard. And I think what's funny about my kids all three of my kids. We don't have a single one that's not this way. They are all just so talkative. They just want to talk all the time. Like we at dinner, we actually have to say, all right, Harvey, it's your turn to talk. And he will tell his story. Wow. And we'll be like, all right, are you done talking? Okay, Cyrus, it's your turn to talk. And so I say all that to say it's very sweet. But sometimes, I mean, if you're a parent, you're also struggling with you're tired a lot. And sometimes you just like want silence. And so sometimes you're just like, I have to work at my patience and my grace with my kids when they want to just talk all the time and I just want silence. I have to just, you know, take a deep breath. Like, okay, maybe I'm not at a good place to listen to this story right now. Can you come back in 5 minutes? So it's always a balance. We're all trying to figure it out as we go along.
Yeah. That makes sense. I can relate to that. So, and with regards to music ministry, could you share your absolute favorite moment, a moment maybe where it's been encounter with God or talking with somebody after a worship set where they've just been really impacted? Could you share an encounter like that? And also, can you share a time when perhaps things just didn't go to plan? They went wrong and maybe God stepped in and changed it around, or maybe you just had no power and it didn't work out at all. I've no idea, but
right.
But a real high and a moment when it just wasn't what you expected.
I mean, a real high is kind of it's kind of a sad story, but it's probably the one that comes to mind the most is I got to meet a family whose son was in the middle of a really intense battle with cancer, their 4-year-old son. And I got to go spend time with them in the hospital and worship over him and be with that family. And the reason why that impacted me, and the son actually wound up going to heaven. And it was extremely difficult, extremely hard, extremely like discouraging and crazy. But the thing that ministered to me the most was just the faith of the family in the midst of that. It changed my life and it changed like seeing that. And it was truly one of those situations where I felt like it was such an honor for me to be able to serve them, but I receive like so much from them at the same time. And so that's a strong one that comes to mind. And there've been several times that I've gotten to like lead in those like small settings, you know, that it's not like a big room or a big church or anything like that. It's just like a small, very intimate setting. And those are just always really unique and special. And I love leading at the big things too. And those are really special. I'm not trying to like discredit any of that. And then, man, if you're talking about train wrecks or talking about things where things didn't go to plan, there's just too many to count. I'm the hardest thing for me, and I'm sure if you're a musician or you're a worship leader listening to this, you can very much relate, is it so many lyrics to remember when you're leading a worship set. It's just so many.
Yeah.
Your brain is just jam-packed full of all these words that you're trying to remember. And unless you have like a monitor in front of you, that's kind of like giving you hints or something like that. I have a horrible memory. So there've just been so many times where it's like, I'm leading a song. It's a very special moment. It's like a tender moment. The Lord is moving. It's very, you know, soft and calm. And for whatever reason, I cannot think for the life of me what the word is that I'm supposed to start singing to start the song. That happens to me a lot. But you know, we go with it. We're not perfect, and we just try to steward the moment as best we can.
That I can relate to. So yeah, I'll let a little secret out. Whenever I'm doing these interviews, and it is true right now, I have a little note on my monitor with the name of the artist, because it would be like my ultimate fear.
Yeah.
I was just like, what if I didn't remember your name? I could just look at it. So.
I know. And most of the time nowadays, a lot of churches have, you know, like a confidence monitor or something in the back that's like gives you the lyrics as you go. And I really don't like looking at that much. And I try not to even focus on that because I want to be present in the room and I want to be very well aware of like what's happening in the room, not just stuck on a monitor. But my brain is also very forgetful. And so it's nice to have that, like, oh, wait, hold on. Oh, yeah, okay, I remember the lyric. I remember the verse now. I can start, I can move on.
Yeah, just in case is always a good thing to have. That makes a bag of sense to me. So you're with Centricity, and
yes,
I've got to say I really do like Centricity. You got some fabulous artists, and
they're awesome. Yeah.
I've only heard good things about them from artists. So sometimes I have conversations with artists before or after the interview, and there's lots of people I know really quite well, and not everyone is happy with the record label that they're with. I think it probably is a fair thing to say. So, for you, what are the benefits of being with Centricity? What are the highlights?
One of the highlights is the guy that I work with the closest. His name is James Duke. He's the guy that I process songs with, and I sit, you know, even the recording process, kind of side by side with him the whole time. James is one of my oldest friends. And it's just a cool kind of happenstance that we connected so many years later in this role in our life. But I've known James for the past 16 years. He was one of the very first musicians I met when I moved to Charlotte. He played with me at Elevation for years. Now he's in Nashville. And so just getting to work with him is like one of the, that's a gift. I love it.
That sounds like a lot of fun. That's a good thing to have, a relationship that's strong like that.
Yes.
Because clearly it's going to really help you with all the things that go on with the label and making sure that everything runs really smoothly. So yep. So you're releasing music. You've got a new track which we will talk about very shortly, and you've got an album later on this year. Are you planning to tour? What's sort of your thinking on that side of things? Or is that something you're trying to avoid because of the kids?
Yeah, right. I know touring is a little bit harder for me these days just because I don't love being gone very long. But I am always traveling. And so even if it's not a tour bus tour and I'm gone for, you know, 3 months at a time, I most often what I'm doing is I'm leading worship a lot, kind of hopping in and out, hopping out, like, you know, fly to a city, have like a worship night or something like that. So there's a lot of that on the calendar that you can find like on my website and stuff. But I don't like, it's harder for me. Not that I don't like it. It's harder for me to be gone on like a proper tour all the time. I'm not opposed to it. I actually really love touring. I love bus life. It's just a different, where I'm in a different season, like with my kids and all that stuff. So trying to navigate that.
Okay. And you mentioned though, you love traveling. What's been your favorite place you've ever traveled to?
Ooh, I really do like Australia. Like I went to the Gold Coast in Australia. And again, that was like right before COVID and everything. And so before travel got kind of crazy for a minute, I got to go to the Gold Coast in Australia, and that was like really beautiful and like such a cool place. Sweden was really awesome. I went to Sweden several years ago with my wife for leading worship at a conference. Yeah, there's a lot of cool places. It's so funny because every once in a while, sometimes you go to a place and you get to experience it and you get to like explore it. And then sometimes like there have been so many cities that I've flown into, you go straight to the church, you lead worship, and then you leave like immediately. And I'm like, yeah, I've been there, but I have not experienced it. There are a lot of places like that.
Yeah, I can imagine that it could sometimes be hectic, so you don't get to see really, you don't get to see and get the feel of a place, do you?
So it's almost like you checked it off your list that you were at that place, but it's not, you didn't get to experience it.
And with regards to your kids, are you hoping that they're going to become musicians? Would you like them to take the life that you have? Are they worshipers?
You know, my daughter is very talented and she's a great singer, and she's got such a great spirit, and she likes to write songs. And so me and her will sit down and we'll work on songs together. And I love getting to steward that with her. That's a real like sweet thing. And my oldest son, he's not really into music. He loves music, but he's not into playing music. And then my youngest, the verdict is still out. We'll see.
Yeah, four is a bit early to know for certain. So, okay. And with regards to music, then when you want to put music on in your house, we're talking about worship music or CCM stuff, which bands will you pop? Oh, just the same. Often when I've talked to other Christian artists and I ask, what tracks do you like worshiping to, who you go to? Elevation's come up numbers of times as being a place they've gone to worship stuff. So that's going to be the work that you did put into it is still bearing fruit. But yeah, for yourself.
I mean, we play worship music a lot in our house, and we'll either sometimes we'll just put on on Spotify you can do playlists, and so a lot of times we'll put on instrumental worship, and so there'll be kind of common worship songs, just instrumental piano versions or something like that, just to as it's playing in the background of the house. But as far as other artists, I mean, I love Brian and Katie Torwalt. They're good friends of mine, but I love their music. Cody Carnes, Pat Barrett. There's so many. I mean, there's so many good artists and musicians. Josh Baldwin is he's one of my closest friends, but his music is awesome. Bethel and that whole crew. So, man, there's so many that is just kind of constantly playing in our house all the time.
Sounds absolutely lovely to me anyway. And actually, those instrumental playlists, they can be really helpful, particularly if you're a bit stressed and stuff. You can put them on even if you've got work to crack on with and just let it just be there.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's old age or if I'm just but my wife was kind of making fun of me the other day because I've entered into this new phase of life where I constantly want just calming music playing behind me. So it's whether I'm driving, it's rare that I'm putting on an album or anything like that. I'm just all right, just give me a nice relaxing atmosphere. And a lot of times it's just that piano worship or something that.
Next year we're saying you need some big slippers and a pipe.
yes, I'll take it.
Okay, so with regards to our characters, God is always wanting to grow us. He's always wanting to stretch us. Not necessarily in a painful way, and sometimes he just wants to hold us, but he wants to transform us to be more like Jesus. At the moment, what are the areas you feel God is really wanting to help you with your character?
Ooh, man, asking some transparent questions. I mean, honestly, I know we talked about this earlier about, some of the struggles with parenthood, but I really do think, the thing that the Lord is continually teaching me, and I think it's even more obvious because I have a wife that we're constantly talking about this. And so it's almost like what the Lord is doing through me, it'll transfer over to her. What the Lord is doing through her, it'll challenge and encourage me. And so there's a constant iron sharpening iron in our relationship. But I think the biggest thing is a patience, and a stillness, because I can tend to get very much all right, I got to get this done. I got to get that done. I got to check this off my list. I need to make here's all the things on my calendar. Look how busy I can be. And the Lord is just really teaching me to slow down and to be very there's a difference between being physically present and being even emotionally present, and being at the dinner table and not on a phone, but being present with, my family. That's just, that's a big thing that the Lord is teaching me. And the other thing is just going back to what we talked about a while ago is that faith. I'm a type A personality. I have goals. I want to write out my goals and have here's my plan and here's what I'm working towards. But really at the end of the day, the Lord wants me to just trust him daily. And I can have all these plans and those are good. That's fine to have plans and to have goals, but I need for my spirit to be in the every single day, not just in what's happening next month or what's happening a year from now. And so the Lord is slowing me down in that aspect of my life, I guess. So, but that's a challenge.
Yeah. That is a challenge. It's a good one. It's not that goals are bad, but making sure that every day you've got Jesus in the middle of the things that are ahead of you.
Yeah, as long as my goal can't be what my faith is. My faith can't be in my goal. My faith has to be rooted in Jesus every single morning. That's who I have to come back to every single day. So
okay, so the Bible. I'm going to guess the Bible's quite important to you. In fact, is that a Bible in the background or is that a notebook?
That is a Bible in the background.
Okay. So what's your favorite Bible story and why?
Ooh, my favorite Bible story. Oh, the thing that comes to mind, I just haven't thought of it in terms, like you're asking, like favorite story. I hadn't really thought of it in that terms, but the one that comes to my mind is just Peter and who Peter is. I was just talking to my son about him recently and explaining to him the thing that I love about Peter is just how rough around the edges he was, how he was kind of constantly screwing up and constantly like making a mistake or embarrassing himself, and just the grace that Jesus had for him and the impact like that Jesus still chose to use him in such a powerful and mighty way, like building the church off of Peter. Like there's just like, that's just such a, that's a good thing for me to have in my spirit, because I know how messed up I am and I know how rough around the edges I am, and knowing that the Lord like still sees all the good in me and still sees all the potential in me and doesn't hold me to all my faults, but he sees all the things that I can be and that he wants for me. And so that's what comes to my mind.
Well, I've got to say, it's definitely an encouraging passage for sure. Peter does it right. He does make some big mistakes.
Yeah, I know. I was going down the list with my son, and I was just like explaining like all the different things that he did. And but I was just like, but that's why he's awesome, is because like he did all these things, and the Lord still said like, I'm going to build my church on you, and I'm going to use you, and you're going to be a mighty like saint of the faith, you know, a hero of the faith. And so, yeah,
it is. It's exciting and encouraging. No matter where we're up to, God still wants to bless us and encourage us and lavish his love upon us and take us forwards into whatever might be next for us. We have got time, Mac, for one more track. The track you've got for us is a brand new track for you. It's called Magnify. Tell us all about Magnify.
Yeah, I mean, the story behind Magnify is very simple. And when you hear the lyrics, like you'll get it. It's not like a deep story. It's just, if you grew up in the church or if you've been a Christian for a long time, you've always heard like, he must become greater, I must become less, he must become, you know, that's like the whole mantra of Christianity pretty much. And that's one of the easiest things to say and one of the hardest ways to live, is for God to be the biggest thing and for me to be small. And that's what this song is about. This song is about like, I want to give you all the glory. I want my life to be all about you. I don't want it to be about the things that I desire and the things that I want. And so it's just a praise song, just declaring that like, I want my life to be a life of worship and praise and glorifying and magnifying you, Jesus. Take that, you know, less of me, more of you. So that's the heart of the song.
And that was Magnify by the wonderful Mac Brock. What a pleasure it was getting to know him. What a lovely guy. What fantastic music. Really looking forward to hearing more of the music from him this coming year and the album as well. And of course, dear listener, there are many other interviews you can listen to with stories from the heart from great Christian worship leaders and CCM artists. And you can just get me at your favourite podcast platform. Just search up The Artist Interview. It's the one with the red logo. I'm Gordon T. It's been an absolute honour being your host today, and I look forward to joining you on the next episode. God bless you.
You've been listening to The Artist Interview, a Hope FM podcast. Find us at hopefm.com/theartistinterview.